You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 375 and our 10th full season of the podcast. Today is Sunday, July 16th, 2017, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hamilton and Curtis. And folks, please help us out by giving us a review on iTunes, telling your friends about us, and retweeting the links to the shows that we put out on Twitter. We would really appreciate it. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss the continuing rise of Ronald Acuna, the possibility of Ozzy Albies being on the move, and the triumphant return of the postseason hope meter. But first, a quick break. Before we get to Acuna, guys, there's so much to talk about with the start of the second half, right? It was this brutal schedule with the Braves we're going to face, and then this great start with the sweep of the Diamondbacks. I mean, so much to like about the series. 19 runs scored, two really great, and one decent start from the starting pitchers. The bullpen shakily held up its part of the bargain, and more of this team just being as fun as hell to watch. Ham.
Yeah.
Pretty good start to the second half, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, totally. Totally, you know, talk about small sample size, but totally turned my whole thought about the team around. I mean, not that I was down on them. I certainly love these guys. I think they play hard. They play for each other. They feel like they give us a chance to win any game.
Every night, seriously, like the late inning stuff is just amazing.
It is great. It is great. And when, and you know, and I'm so optimistic about this season now and the second half and our chances. And I know we'll get to that with the postseason hope meter. Spoiler alert. But I'm so excited. It was a great weekend. When you have Ender and Phillips doing as well as they did and both hitting, and Ender just getting on base, it seems, you know, 3 out of 4 times every game, and Phillips getting his stroke back. Freeman is always lurking. And then the rest of the lineup is just impressive. And then you've got great pitching. Dickey looks great. Fulte really looks like he's a professional pitcher now. You know, Garcia
rebounds on Sunday.
I mean, he definitely had a good start. It's very exciting. I'm worried about the bullpen. I don't think we have a pen right now that there's anyone I feel confident coming in that's going to, you know, stop the bleeding if we're in a bad situation. But
Rex Brothers, dude, he's the stopper.
He's the stopper. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. But I'm excited. It could not have been a better way to start the second half.
Curtis, do you like what you saw this weekend?
Absolutely. It's the second best staff ERA that Diamondbacks had in baseball. So to go out there and score runs and put up, you know, big innings against those guys, it was just fun to watch. Huge crowds. God bless the Atlanta fans for showing up, too, because, I mean, it's still a team that was below 500 coming out of the All-Star break in a series against the Diamondbacks. I mean, obviously the Diamondbacks are a good team this year, but it's not like it's the Mets or the Cubs or the Dodgers or some big national team. And the Saturday night game was the biggest crowd ever at SunTrust Park. So obviously people were catching on. They're getting excited about the team. And this weekend certainly gave them lots to be excited about. You guys covered a lot of it. But yeah, it was so fun and just big hit after big hit, big plays. I mean, it was great.
So speaking of stuff to get excited about, let's move on to Ronald Acuna. So on May 9th this year, he was promoted to AA Mississippi, where he slashed .326, .374, .520. But he didn't last there long, because earlier this week, Acuna's meteoric rise continued as this 19-year-old was bumped up to Gwinnett. In his 4 games since the promotion, he's 5-for-20, 2 doubles, a homer, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. So, Kurt, when do you figure is the first that we see Acuna?
I still think it's going to be the end of the year.
September call-up?
Yeah.
Roster expansion.
As exciting as he is, and it's very exciting, but he's still very young. He's not had, obviously, this is his first foray to high-level baseball, but he's pushing it. And I guess my question would be, you're not going to sit any of the outfielders right now for a 19-year-old, regardless of what he's doing in the minor leagues personally, unless he's getting some guys getting a day off here or there. And it feels like you already got those guys on the team. So I just don't see, I think it's more important for him to play than be sitting on the bench in Atlanta. I just don't see that he's going to be all of a sudden be a starter in Atlanta over Kemp or Markakis or certainly Inciarte. So,
well, that's the thing. The really unlikely scenario is they have pushed him this hard because they're planning to trade one of the corner outfielders by the deadline and they can bring him up. But again, seems really unlikely. Now, the flip side of that is you don't push him this hard, bring him up to AAA in mid-July of 17 and not plan, short of some disastrous time for him in AAA, that he's not the opening day starter in 18. At least that's my opinion. You hope for that. And yeah. So if that's the assumption, Ham, who do you think goes in the offseason, Kemp or Markakis?
I really don't know. I mean,
or Inciarte, Ham.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going right with him. And I'm starting whatever Inciarte baseball talk. Obviously you lose Kemp. If someone picks him up, you get more payroll flexibility. He's set to earn $21.5 million next year. Markakis only set to earn $10.5 million. I think Kemp provides more value to the Braves. Just his power, potential power in the lineup, backing up Freddie. But I don't know. I could really see it going either way. I guess if I had to do shot in the dark, I think Markakis goes. I think Kemp is more desirable to have on the team right now. And if Acuna can continue to produce power, you've got this lineup that just all of a sudden is very stout in the middle with Freeman and Acuna, Kemp. I mean, maybe Matt Adams.
He'll be gone. But
we have a lot of flexibility. I don't know. It's interesting. And I guess, back to the question of when we see Acuna, I do think the earliest would be September call-ups. But what are we at the deadline? Are we buyers? Are we sellers? If someone came a knocking and said, we'll take Markakis off your hands, are we selling Markakis or Kemp? Do you guys think?
I think so. I don't necessarily agree with you that Kemp is more valuable to the team unless he rebounds from this rough stretch.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe this is really just him coming back from the hamstring injury. On the other hand, he's put weight on. He just looks slow in the outfield. I just wonder if his legs are giving out on him. And the great Kemp that we saw maybe isn't coming back. I hope I'm wrong. And he's certainly less desirable if he doesn't come back and he's $21.5 million, not only in 18, but in 19.
Right.
Cakes only has 1 year left after this year. But I guess it kind of depends on how they finish their years, right? But I would assume just given the fact that he is more affordable, that Markakis goes. And I don't know, Ham. I guess if the Braves get blown away by an offer for Kemp or Markakis, then you throw Camargo out there.
Yeah.
And now you have a spot for him. I don't know. I just don't see that kind of offer coming. Well, Curtis, what do you think?
And we have Dustin Peterson coming. I mean, he's out there. I know he's injured still, but there are outfield, there are other outfield options out there besides Acuna.
I think it's going to be a seesaw for the Braves. I think that they've got pieces that they would give up, but I think they're going to be shopping too. I hadn't even really scoreboard watched all that much, but I mean, the Braves are now sitting six games out of a wild card position, which is a lot closer than I thought. And
yeah.
The team right in front of them is the Cubs, who we get to play. We just took three from Arizona, who's the number one wild card team, and we get to play them again in about a week. So I think the Braves are in a sort of a weird position right now, because I think that they have pieces that certainly other teams would be interested in, but I don't think that they're, especially when they pull in three crowds like they did this weekend, 150,000 people almost over three games, and they see if they get a team that gets going that they can pull those numbers in, and a team that stays in a race. I think chemistry is a huge component of this team. And so you start dumping off these pieces for whatever. What is that? Can you imagine the Braves were without Brandon Phillips right now? I mean, I know I give love to Brandon Phillips every week, but I mean, that guy is this weekend. He was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, can you imagine what the Braves would be like if he was not on this? And what of value can you, can't get anything for Brandon Phillips. I mean, maybe other than,
that's the thing. If they aren't offered something really attractive for Phillips, it doesn't seem like they would get rid of him. I mean, I think that they will be thoughtful about what they do at the trade deadline, only getting pieces that are controllable beyond this year, right? That they're not, it's not like they're really, 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 really challenging for a playoff spot, right? They're not going to get rentals. They're not going to get rid of guys to get rentals for 2017. There's just no way.
Right? Yeah, I think that's a great point.
All right. So, guys, let's discuss some other headlines from this past week. And we'll start with the trade of Carlos Quintana from the White Sox to the Cubs. So the Cubs gave up their two top prospects, plus a couple of other prospects. After the trade was complete, Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports reported that the Braves were part of the talks with the White Sox until the end, and that Ozzie Albies was part of what the Braves offered. So, Kurt, what are your thoughts about Ozzie being offered up in trades? It kind of blew me away when I saw that.
Same here. I don't know where that's coming from. I know his splits are not great, but as far as against left-handed batting or as a left-handed batter against right-handed pitching, he's only batting 260. And I think, Steve, maybe you said something about Chipper working with him as a switch hitter.
That's right.
But I mean, he's batting as a right-handed batter against left-handed pitching, he's batting 374. So I cannot for the life of me understand why the Ozzie Albies is all of a sudden. And I mean, he obviously had a precipitous drop in the midseason prospect rankings. So I don't know what is out there that is all of a sudden an albatross around Ozzie Albies that he is tradable. And maybe they just think that they have other pieces in the pipeline, and he is such a still a valuable prospect that they can get more back for him. But it totally came from left field for me. I did not expect to see that at all.
Yeah. So on Saturday, someone tweeted to DOB asking if Ozzie was the second baseman of the future. This added to my kind of how incredulous I was about this. DOB responded, TBD, but I wouldn't say he is. A year ago, we all thought so. And so, Hams, sorry to interrupt you, it feels easy to draw a line between this Albies talk and the reports that came out this past weekend that the Braves are interested in trading for former first-round pick of the Rangers, Jurickson Profar. In other words, you turn Albies into a controllable starter and then address the gap that Albies creates by adding Profar to the mix. But that's putting a lot of stock into Camargo and Profar and Sean Rodriguez. I mean, Albies has been the second baseman of the future for a while now.
Yeah, and his slash line in July, I mean, it was 347, 377, 510, June 312, 336, 559. The dude is hitting, right? And by all accounts, he's fielding well. Is it an attitude thing? I'm with Kurt. I'm baffled by the fall, and I don't have the information I would want to sort of understand why he's slipped. But it's got to be, right? Maybe the Braves are thinking, so Phillips is doing great. He loves it here. He's a free agent next year. We sign him again. We've got Camargo. We have Sean Rodriguez. Albies maybe, is more valuable to us as a trade asset now to get that controllable one or two. And that's, that's the way we're going to play it. I don't see it on Profar. It seems like a total flyer.
And a great flyer. Like, I love the idea. You know, Coppy loves the first round pick that has kind of fallen out of favor, and let's see what we can turn him into with a change of scenery. I think it's great, but don't base a lot of hope on it.
No, yet. I don't. I mean, I do think a lot of talk is that it would be Jaime Garcia for Profar, and I guess that's probably that's a good deal, right? I wouldn't want two middling starters.
I would do that in a second.
Yeah, and I, John Hart signed him as an international prospect. So Hart knows him. So I think there's some appeal there as well. But I would want it to be part of a larger play than just, you know, I don't know. I just, it doesn't excite me. For me to get really excited, I wouldn't hate it. But then all of a sudden I'm like, we got a lot of infielders and I'm not sure what we're doing with all of them. And I'm disappointed. I mean, just like we were all excited in Swanson. I think we were excited in Albies before we were in Swanson. All of a sudden he's an odd man out. Is a little disappointing. I anticipated him being a cornerstone of the future.
Yeah, and look, this may all be talk, and a lot of names and stuff gets thrown around in the week leading up to the trade deadline. So who knows how it plays out. I did want to ask both of you. I've only seen Albies drop one or two spots in some of the rankings just because Acuna has ascended. But have you guys seen him really drop that far down?
I haven't.
Well, he dropped, I mean, in the Baseball America one, I think is the one that I saw. He dropped because he was a top 10 prospect, and now he's like almost top 30.
Okay, within all of baseball,
Yeah,
I was talking within the Braves.
No, I was only going on the midseason baseball, because right. Obviously the Braves are so well represented. I think they had 8 or 9 players in the top 100, which is amazing. But yeah, one more thing on the Profar thing. I'm sorry. No interest whatsoever.
Really?
Absolutely not. No. The guy is a quad A player at best. He missed 2 full seasons because he had a shoulder injury. He's never done anything on the major league level. He's hardly done anything on the minor league level. I mean, the guy is a wash up. I mean, if you can get him for nothing, then take him. But the MLB trade rumors is reporting that 12 teams have has expressed interest in Jaime Garcia now. So if all you can get, if there are 12 teams lobbying to try and trade for Jaime Garcia, especially after his start today, and all you can get is a washed up former 2012 number one overall prospect. I mean, that's insane.
Make them
give you a lot more than Profar if that's what you're going to be if it's the Rangers that you're going to be going to in this trade.
He's got a pretty good slash line in AAA this year.
I mean, he's batting over 300. Yeah,
this year. But yeah. Look at his career. I mean, I don't mean to continue to belabor this point, but I mean, it ain't very good.
I got to say, I don't quickly just since we're just on this. I don't get it about Quintana. I cannot believe the Cubs gave up what they did for Quintana. I mean, his, you know, he's Tehran, basically, except he throws from the left and maybe, but, yeah. And of course, today he goes and throws.
Yeah, 12 strikeouts, shutout ball or something.
Yeah, 7 innings, 3 hits.
Cubs are looking at Sonny Gray, too.
Yeah.
They're desperate. I guess, you know, they got a lot of fans to please, but shocked. I'm glad we did not. You have to give it that much for Quintana.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, the comp is, you know, Albies or actually Acuna and, like, you know, Allard, right? I mean, that's what the Cubs gave up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, Steve, you said it was their number one and number two. I saw number one and number four,
yeah.
Which is a heavy price to pay for a number three, number four. I don't even know where does he fall for the Cubs?
Yeah, number three, I guess. Maybe two. All right, so Kurt, let's continue talking about starting pitching and R.A. Dickey's resurgence, and it's been phenomenal. Over his last 5 starts, he's given up a total of 4 earned. His batting average against is .214. He's only walked 8 over those 5 games. Remember when walks were just killing him earlier in the season? And he, over those 5 games, he threw strikes 70% of the time. So the team has an $8 million club option for him in 2018. Do you think it makes more sense to keep him around for 18 instead of trading him at the deadline?
Oh, wow. I guess that's just, I mean, what he is doing is he's eating innings on top of how well he's pitching. But God, he's still so old. I just worry that, you know, that this might be one of these situations where it's you beg one more year out of these guys and it was one more year too long.
The clone. Well, yeah, the clone situation. Yeah,
exactly. I guess my feeling about it is the next wave of starting pitchers, and I'm not really talking about Blair and Whistler right now, because who knows with those guys, right? But the Soroka, Allard, Gohara, I mean, they're all 19 and 20. Maybe one of them looks so good in the spring next year that one of them gets the fifth spot. But it really feels like second half of 18 at the earliest for any of those guys. So to me, it's assuming he continues pitching well the rest of the season, I think it's kind of worth it. Hammy?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a little bit more age-proof than Cologne was, just the way
just
he pitches.
Just given his style.
His style and the knuckleballer and all that. You know, if somebody came and said, we'll give you a reliable bullpen arm, controllable, something that could start now, I would I think that would be something I might be interested in. But I'm with you. I don't think we're going to have a full complement of five starting pitchers out of our, you know, our farm system by this beginning of next year. And I think Dickey should be there. And, you know, of course we'll be wrong and he'll give up 8 earned over 4 starts and we'll drop him. But I think he belongs there.
Well, the pitcher we've seen over these last 5 games, the other thing is he's not this pitcher, right? He's been a high 3, low 4 ERA guy for a number of years now. But this has been great. I mean, if he starts giving up 3 earned over 7 for the rest of his starts this year, I mean, it's just amazing and will keep us in ball games, particularly with this offense. All right, next up, the return of the postseason hope meter. But first, a quick break. The postseason hope meter. How I've missed you. So, guys, I was thinking about it. Surely we didn't do it at all last year in 2016. My guess is that the last time we had this discussion was really that franchise-changing week heading into the All-Star break in 2015 when the team was about to sweep the Brewers. It was a day game. I remember it well. They blew that third game late in the game and then proceeded to get swept in that 4-game series in Colorado. That was the series that Grilly was lost for the season. And it was really the moment that the front office decided we got to blow this thing up. But here the team is. After sweeping the Diamondbacks and climbing back to 500 for the first time since July 7th, 2015, that same week I was just talking about, they're 9.5 back of the Nats, who also swept the Reds this weekend. So we gained no ground on them. And they also just bolstered their one deficiency of the bullpen by trading for Sean Doolittle and Ryan Madsen. But as Kurt mentioned earlier, the Braves are 6 back of the second wildcard spot with only the Cubs between them and that spot. We have the Cubs coming in the beginning of this coming week and more with the Diamondbacks in a week or two. So, Ham, just to remind everybody, here's how we play. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely do you think it is that the Braves will make the playoffs this year, 1 being the least likely, 10 being the most likely, and we do count the 1-game wild card playoff. So, Ham, what do you got?
So, I am not sold on the Brewers. I am not sold on the Diamondbacks, actually. I know they have, you know, good pitching, but after having played them, I think we can compete with them. I think the Cubs have a lot of pitching woes to turn around. We sort of touched on that. I think the Rockies have settled down into the team that they actually are, which is not that crazy good team that started as well as they did. And like I said, I think our guys really like each other. I think they play hard for each other. They give us a chance to win every game. If we had a decent bullpen, I would be even more excited. But saying all that, I'm going to say a 6. I am just north of thinking that we have a 50-50 chance of making the playoffs this year.
All right, Curtis?
Well, a lot of the reasons Dave just gave, I totally buy into. Arizona and Colorado, particularly Arizona, is sort of falling apart. I mean, Arizona's 2-8 in their last 10. With that, I'm not quite fully committing to the Braves just yet. I still feel like it's a lot to jump over, although I think the NL West teams might end up cannibalizing each other and really hurting their chances as they fight it out. I'm going to go 4.
All right. And I will fall right in the middle. I'm a 5, which is not to say that I'm not crazy wound up about the team right now and watching the scoreboard and cannot wait for the Cubs series to get here and cannot wait to see how they look against the Dodgers. I mean, I'm a bit crazy about it right now, but yeah, there's still a lot to happen. There's still a lot to overcome. Next week, you know, if we could split with the Dodgers and take 2 of 3 from the Cubs, all of a sudden, you know, that number shoots up some, especially to make some ground on the Cubs and get, you know, get us to be, you know, that first team beneath those two spots to jump over the Cubs. It would really be something. But yeah, I'm you know, I'm right on the fence right now. All right. So shot in the dark, our predictions for the coming week. And we'll start by reviewing how everyone did last week. And we'll begin with our listener shot in the dark from Gerson Tremis on Twitter, who predicted that the Braves starters in the D-back series, Dickey, Fulte, and Garcia, would all allow two earned runs or less, and the Braves would win the series. And damn it, it was close. Dickey and Garcia only gave up one, but Fulte gave up three. And, of course, the Braves did win. So nice, nice work there. All right, let's see how the three of us did. So, Hammy, you predicted that Ender would have a hit, a stolen base, and a run scored in the All-Star game. No. And he did none of those things.
No. What a dud. What a dud of a game, by the way. What a complete waste of time.
Well, it's just the, it's, you know, it's the unhittable pitcher after unhittable pitcher.
And it's like, no, I mean, and you want to think, oh, what a compelling matchup. This is, you know, Kershaw versus Judge or something. But it just is so boring. It's the worst of all All-Star games. No, I'm sorry.
No,
football,
no.
Football is the worst.
Football and, oh, dude, no. And the NBA. At
you're
least,
such,
at
an,
least
you're such
it
an
looks
old man.
Like, it looks like the sport. The NBA doesn't look like the sport, and the NFL doesn't look like the sport. It's still an actual baseball game.
It's the worst.
You're the worst. The Home Run Derby was pretty frigging compelling.
Oh, I love the Home Run Derby. I even like the celebrity softball game after the Home Run Derby more than I like the All-Star game.
The new format is great. The Stanton, Sanchez? Is that the catch?
Gary Sanchez, yeah.
The Stanton-Sanchez match. I mean, there was a lot of great stuff in there. I really enjoyed the home run.
The Boer, Justin Boer.
Yeah, Boer, right. And then who came in and just crushed him?
Judge, like by one.
Right, it was Judge.
Boer had the second highest round of anybody all the way through, but he went up against Judge in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Kurt, sticking with the All-Star game, you predicted that the winning team in the All-Star game would score four or fewer, and yes, the AL scored two to win 2-1.
You let him get away with that?
I know. Well, but I only like to make fun of your shot-in-the-dark picks.
All right. Yeah. Boo.
And I predicted that Swanson would have a walk-off win against the D-backs. That did not happen either. So, Kurt, you're the winner, which gives you a commanding 2-0 lead.
Yeah, it does.
Hammy and I for the month of July. All right, so, Ham, it's time for us to get busy. What do you got for this coming week?
I'm going to say that Ender stays hot, and he has 14 hits this week.
All right. That is fair.
Thank you.
Curtis, you're welcome.
Braves will play 7 games.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Kurt's is.
Yeah.
Kurt, what do you got?
That's not funny. I'm going with old Pork Chop Kemp. He's going to bat over 300 this week and hit 3 homers. It's a big rebound after you guys dogged him out so much.
That would be a huge rebound.
Hey, I did not dog him out, for the record. I want him to stay.
That was me.
Yeah, it was...
And after you dogged out my really soft shot in the dark.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, I'm going that this is a big one. If I get this right, I should get 2. Teron gives up fewer runs in his start against the Cubs. He's going to face Lackey. I'm sorry, fewer runs than the starter that he faces, which would be Lackey. And that Garcia will give up fewer runs in Los Angeles than Alex Wood, who he faces. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I heard today that Alex Wood is the first Dodger ever to go 11-0.
Yeah, I saw that too. He also leads the NL starters in ERA.
Yeah.
Thank God we traded that guy.
I know. Well, we got Hector Oliveira.
God, I love Hector and Lex.
He's going to be so back. Good. He's going to be back any day now.
Monster.
Yep.
Did we talk about that we drafted Jason Hirsch right in front of Aaron Judge? One pick. Because, you know, pitching wins championships.
You can't have enough pitching. Young high school pitchers.
All right, folks. Don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday. And if we pick yours, we will discuss it on next week's show. All right, guys. Let's talk about the week ahead. 7 games this week. 3 at home against the Cubs. 4 at the Dodgers. Let's take a look at the pitching matchup. So, Teron versus Lester. So did I say Lackey? I meant Lester, who is coming up. Lester's coming off that disastrous one inning appearance. It was actually two thirds of an inning against the Pirates, where he gave up 10 runs, four earned. And the start before that was five earned against the Rays. So we will see. Next up is Newcomb versus Lackey and his 5.2 ERA. And finishing up with the Cubs, it'll be Dickey versus Mike Montgomery and his 4.0. I mean, seriously, we're not facing really, really stout pitching against the Cubs.
They don't have stout pitching.
Yeah, sure. And the position players, I mean, that's been part of their problem the first half as well, that they're not hitting. Now, they've actually had a pretty decent, I think they had a pretty decent end to the first half. And I think they did fairly well the weekend that just concluded. But that's a winnable series in my mind, don't you think?
I do.
Yes.
Especially at home.
Yeah.
What's Hayward doing? Did he get hurt? What's going
Who's
on
that?
With Jason Hayward? Jason Hayward?
No, Hayward was on the DL like a month ago or something. He's back and hitting. I've seen some decent looking highlights for him. All right, so on to Chavez Ravine. We'll face the Dodgers. It'll be Fulte versus Brandon McCarthy in his 338. Next up will be Garcia versus Alex Wood, the pain, and his 156 ERA. Game three will be Tehran versus Rich Hill and his 355. And then closing out the week, Newcomb versus Kershaw and his 218.
They're
so a bit of a tougher series.
Yeah, and
but
we're
split,
horrible.
Right? I mean, splitting it is not impossible, right? Other than the fact that we went up against the Astros, who are the only team better in baseball than the Dodgers, and just got smacked around.
Yeah, and we do not play well out in L.A.
That has certainly been the case.
Yeah.
But, so, God, split it. Yeah. Just split it. He's so good.
So I say we go 3-4. We go 2-1. We win the Cup Series, but we lose the Dodger Series.
Yeah, Curtis.
I don't know that you're gonna. Are you guys both sitting down?
Yeah, I am actually.
I do the
4-3, baby.
Whoa,
4-3. I'm going out there, throwing it all out there. Every time I go all in on the Braves, which I guess 4-3 is really not all in. They'll go 1-6. But
yeah. Well, with four games against the Dodgers, it's a pretty big prediction.
2-1, 2-2.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Curtis. That's what I got as well.
Way to steal my thunder.
Well, from Steve, he thought it should be 8-0. He's really thinking we're going 8-0, but he wants to keep it real.
On that note, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access old shows and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.